You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the kids!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
Check it, one for the money, two for the show. Thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho! Yep, I got my moms, I got my girl, I got my friends. In the States, I'm making dollars. In Japan, I'm making yens with the new style. Meanwhile, my real name is William. I'm quick to break a sweat like Donald Trump could break a million or zillion. I kill them, I watch as all my children. I'm hard as Plymouth Rock, you silly smart, just acts of pilgrims. I was strong from the get-go. I'm not Lou Ferrigno, I never could...
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, a very special Royal Rant edition of the program. This, of course, is the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. Brother Lightskin Marcus Vandenberg is not with us this week. He is on assignment. I think he just wanted to take a break after episode 250, the big milestone episode. So we let Marcus have the week off out there in L.A. But, you know, much like on The Simpsons where they couldn't get Steven Spielberg, so they got his Mexican equivalent to film Mr. Burns' movie. We could not get Brother Lightskin on the show, so we got his black militant equivalent to step into the co-host chair this week. You know this man if you've heard this show. He is a friend of the program. He is the host of the 20 Twin Twin, which will have to come out with some new episodes here in the near future on the Kings of Sport Patreon. He comes from L.A. You could say he's from the Southland, and he's going to tell us some tales. That's a bit of a plug for the upcoming edition of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show. Chris from L.A., the professor. Chris Ely, what's up, brother?
Man, what is up? I'm just getting ready to head to Spain on Monday. So I'm kind of like tying up some loose ends.
What the hell you got going on in Spain, Chris?
One of my friends is having a destination wedding. So me and my girlfriend are going to, you know, just... She's never been to Europe before. I've been to Europe, but it's been a while. It's been like since I was a kid. So I'm looking forward. I've never been to Spain. So, yeah.
Okay. So I guess we can expect some videos on your Facebook where, you know, much like Kofi Kingston returning to Ghana, Chris from Spain will have all these kids in the street running up.
Maybe if I was so my roots are in Jamaica, are actually Jamaican, not like how like Kofi Kingston was faking the funk a few years back. My family is Jamaican, so you know, hopefully I could go to Jamaica one of these days and get one of those receptions. That was beautiful with the Kofi stuff, by the way.
It was. And I've got some information about Kofi that I'll tell you off air if you hadn't heard. But I don't want to put it out there because one of my many sources within the wrestling industry gave me a little tidbit today that I'm excited about.
Okay, cool.
But we'll share that for me and Chris off air. What we are going to talk about on air this week, though, in this Royal Rant edition of the Kings of Sport, is we're going to talk some NBA as we are in the midst of the finals between the Toronto Raptors and the reigning defending champion Golden State Warriors. But before we get to that, Chris, much like Marcus Vandenberg, was out in Vegas a couple weeks ago for the big AEW Double or Nothing event. And kind of the StarCast event surrounding it as well. So I want to touch base with that first, Chris. First of all, let the people know, you know, kind of some of the things you experienced during the week. I know you were at the Corner Podcast panel on Stereotypes in Wrestling, hosted by friends of the program, Kels Danby and Andreas Hale. So, you know, talk about that. Talk about All In. Just kind of the vibe from that week in Vegas.
Okay, so first of all, big up to the Corner guys, man. They were real cool. Very fun shows on both nights. The Friday night one was a little bit wonky. Not because of them, though, because the acts that came out before them. I don't know how affiliated they are with the Corner, so I'm going to leave that alone. But they were struggling. They were struggling a little bit. At least, you know, not me. But the Corner guys, they were cool on Friday. Met Marcus over there. My friend Jesse was with me. He's another professor out of Tennessee. And then the whole weekend was just this. I went to the first I went to All In Chicago. And then I went to the All In event, and then I went to StarCast in Chicago. I gotta say that the Vegas one was eons better. It was so at the Sears Center at All In. One, I was sick that whole weekend. Like I had to use a wheelchair for part of the time.
That's right. Yeah, you were rolling around like Black Professor Xavier.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I have multiple sclerosis, and most of the time it doesn't mess with me. But anytime I've been flying, it does mess with me. So on that, when I got to that event, I was worse for wear in the first place. And then when you go in All In, the Sears Center is such a shitty building. The lines to all the concessions were just super, super long. The lines to every single bathroom in that place was super, super long. I absolutely just hated the environment. The show was good, but we stepped out early because we wanted to beat traffic, me and Chad Rivera. So the next this year, though, had none of those problems. The MGM Grand is such a nice hotel, and the arena in there, the Grand Garden Arena, is just so nice. Multiple bathrooms, no lines for the bathrooms, barely any lines for the concession stand. The All In event was cool. They had it at two places. They had it at Tuscany Suites, and that was kind of like the secondary spot. And then the Caesar's Palace was like the main spot for it. I'm hoping next year, if they do the diversity panel again, Conrad, you got to hook it up and you got to represent. I hope the next year's one is at Caesar's Palace so they can draw a bigger audience, because that was an important panel. I was very, very proud to be a part of it. I'm listening to the Corner guys, listening to Kenny King, Marty Bell. Or if this was a couple years ago, I would have been shooting my shot, but I'm locked down in a situation right now, and I love the girl that I'm with. But
I was saying, why are you? I'm locked down. What you doing? You doing 5 to 10?
Oh, no. It's nothing like that. It's a good situation. Much love, Patrice. But yeah, if this was a few years ago, Marty Bell, I would have kick some game at Marty Bell. She is beautiful in person, as is on television. But yeah, the whole panel, man, and the writer, the XWB writer, Kazim, yeah, he's a cool guy. All the independent wrestlers there that I met, I met Willie Mack. Willie Mack was cool. I met him a long time ago in L.A. But this is the first time I had a conversation with the brother, and yeah, it was cool. It was just, you know, the things that these guys said that promoters have asked them to do,
right,
is just, you know, only in wrestling, man. Like I don't see working a regular job being asked to do the shit these guys were asked to do. and it was just an interesting panel.
Yeah, and it's for anybody that's interested, it is available on YouTube. You could check it out, and I made the comment like, if I was out there, there would have been two panels that I would have wanted to go to. Number one, of course, be that Man Called Sting, because, you know, that's that Man Called Sting.
Yes.
Got to represent for my boy. But then also, you know, the Wrestling with Stereotypes panel, because this is something that I think the fan base has needed for a while. It's something that I think the wrestlers and the people within the industry have needed for a while so they could kind of speak their experience. I'm glad that, you know, Conrad and the people with StarCast made this a part of the weekend. And I think, like, it we saw this kind of start with Kofi Kingston back at WrestleMania, Chris.
Right.
And what happened at Wale Mania.
Yeah.
And now that kind of, I don't want to go as far as to say a movement, but certainly more of a recognition and a cognizance that wrestling should be and is for everybody, whether you're talking about the actual performers or the fans. Like, it's something that should be open to everybody. And I think panels like this, and I believe it was either Kel or Andreas that said it at the end of the panel, like, it's not only about Black workers or Latino workers or women, but, you know, also LGBTQ workers. And you know, this right. is something where wrestling should be inclusive, and, you know, we need to take more steps towards that.
Yes, I 100% agree. And then I was talking to those corner guys also. I think we might have touched on this before too, Nate. I am of the belief that The Rock is the first Black WWE champion.
Yes.
However,
yes,
what I brought
a big,
up
– a big Stephen A. Smith. However.
Yeah, however, I always made the argument the standard for Blacks in that company used to be The Rock, whereas the standards for whites in that company is the fucking Miz. You know what I'm saying? That is not fair. Like, any
and it's no shade against the Miz, who, you know, I like what he's doing now, but yeah, the Miz and The Rock, there's a world of difference between the levels that those two men attained.
Yeah, like any kid off the street can look at the Miz and be like, I can be the Miz, you know. But looking at The Rock is like, if this is what we have to be to be at the top, it's just not fair to the Black youth. I think Kofi Kingston, and I'm not saying Kofi is worse than The Rock or whatever, but but I think Kofi is more of a everyman.
Yeah, he's certainly not at that level of, like, Kofi is a good wrestler, and he's certainly somebody who's been undervalued.
Yes.
But The Rock is a generational talent.
Yes, The Rock is The Rock is like Halley's Comet. The Rock only comes around once every blue moon. You're never going to just regularly meet somebody with The Rock's level of charisma, athleticism, good looks, muscles, all that stuff. You know, people, The Rock is somebody that people just gravitate to. I think Kofi has that ability as well, just not on the level of The Rock. And I think with Kofi as champion and being a darker skinned brother,
Kofi's a great wrestler. The Rock is an A-list celebrity.
Right.
The Rock is somebody that transcends wrestling, whereas Kofi is a star within the confines of this sport.
Yes. And even with The Rock in WWE, he did have a little bit of a glass ceiling also, because The Rock is one of the very few faces of that company to never win the belt at WrestleMania or successfully defend the belt at WrestleMania. Kofi Kingston has the distinction of being able to say he is the first Black man to win the WWE World title at WrestleMania. So that is important. It's these baby steps here.
And the other thing about Kofi is, and this is no shade on Dwayne Johnson, who is Black, but he's also biracial.
Right.
Like, Kofi is the first overtly Black / African-American champion.
Right.
Where he culturally identifies as a Black guy. Whereas with The Rock, even though his father's Black, he more closely identifies with that Samoan part of his heritage.
Yes, and that's the thing with The Rock, too. The Rock is one of those, and The Rock has the luxury of being black sometimes and not black sometimes. It just is what it is. And for Hollywood purposes, it makes sense. Yeah. So if he's doing a movie like Be Cool, he's going to be Samoan. If he's doing a movie like Gridiron Gang, he's going to be black in that movie. If he's, you know, he's got that kind of he could swing either way. And Kofi is just undeniably black. And I think that's why I'm never going to take away someone's blackness, man.
Yeah.
You know, Rashida Jones, Kadada Jones, all the Quincy Jones's children, I claim you all. But yeah, I'm never going to do that. But I do understand why the Kofi Kingston moment is more significant for the culture than maybe The Rock's was. And I thought The Rock's was pretty significant as well. And I think we both have talked ad nauseum about The Rock and his greatness. So, but yeah, Kofi, man.
Yeah, like I love The Rock. You know, I've got a whole entire podcast dedicated to his film career. And I I'm not going to take away the man's blackness. Like, to the people that don't acknowledge The Rock as a black champion, I think you're being silly. But there is something to be said for the cultural identity, which to me sometimes in America is more important than actual, you know, biological racial identification. You know, because Kofi is very clearly of this time a black man, and The Rock, you know, like you said, has the luxury, quote unquote, of being able to be black, you know, when it behooves him.
Yes, exactly. And even with the when he was in the G.I. Joe movie, he played the roadblock and stuff. So he has that kind of wiggle room. I would like to see Rock do more. And the Rock acknowledges his blackness, but he always has to acknowledge his Samoan side, which I get. Because there's just such a rich culture with.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, Chris. Like, I love being black, but if I looked like The Rock, first of all, I probably wouldn't be doing this show. but if I looked like The Rock and had the ability to either be a big black dude in America or a big Samoan dude in America, I'd probably be the big Samoan dude most of the time.
I think that's a fair assessment, and I also like. I got a ton of Samoan friends. You know, those fools are black as far as I'm concerned, man. You know, if they're not black, they're black adjacent, man. Yes. I've been pulled over and arrested with Samoan guys before. They don't get treated that much better than us. Let's just say
shout
that.
Out to all the Samoan listeners. We see you, Oos.
Yeah, for real.
But getting back to the panel and the weekend in general, with StarCast and all Elite Wrestling, what else stood out to you besides the Wrestling with Stereotypes panel?
Okay, so they did. I will give them credit, and this I'll give this credit to Conrad Thompson, who I hope we have on the show soon, because he did a very good job of fixing the things that were wrong with the first Chicago podcast or this first Chicago StarCast. Like, for one, the lines to the weigh-in and to Omega's podcast and the Sting's podcast and stuff, all of them were super long, but he had them in the very biggest ballrooms.
Okay.
So if you had the platinum bracelet like I had, and you just let the line die down, you could walk right in and find a chair and it would be no problem. Or if you had a walking cane like I did, you could have just gotten to the front of the line, which you know, sometimes I take advantage of that and sometimes I don't.
So again, going to the Simpsons, you're like Homer when he got into the handicapped parking spot and he had to act like his leg was messed up.
Oh yeah. So here's the thing with me. This is what my neurologist told me. This is how I justify it. My neurologist said, look, you've got a real thing going on with you.
So
you when you use that cane, you use it whenever the hell you want to use it. And that's just kind of how I do.
Chris walked in, saw the line. He's like, oh, let me go back to the hotel room and get my cane real quick.
what the cane does when I have it on me is I don't have to explain stuff to people, right? So when you don't have the cane and they see you and you're kind of like walking wobbly and stuff, you know, they want to ask, but they don't. So they just stare at you awkwardly. But when you have the cane, it makes things easier and they'll just – people open doors for you, do that kind of stuff for you. And that was what and that was what the event was. The Omega panel was just great. I'll give Kenny Omega this because this is – and I'll give him credit because this isn't something I would have probably done if I was in his situation. But he tried to meet – every single person that wanted to meet him at his panel. I didn't do that because I just didn't, I wanted to kind of give him his space. And I think eventually once we get more of a footing in the industry, all of us will eventually meet these guys. So it wasn't any thing for me to meet him that day.
So you better than me, man, because if I was at the Sting panel, I'd have been the first one up there, man.
Oh yeah, he was definitely one of the priorities that I wanted to meet. And his line was probably longer.
I'd have been pushing old ladies and little girls out the way.
Yeah, so
they just doesn't mean as much to you as it does to me.
yeah. I always remember just for a sidebar, real quick, still on Sting, but I have to bring this up. I remember listening to our boys John and Way, and John was just not giving Sting his proper due. And as an NWA guy, I that was probably the maddest I've ever been listening to Pollock. was the stuff he was saying about Sting. I was like, you take that shit back.
I think honestly, like for those that don't know, the first interaction I had with John Pollock and what ultimately led to me being on Review and Impact, which led to me doing a bunch of other stuff with the guys with the Law and now post wrestling, is I would write into their TNA reviews. And John and I would always go back and forth in these long, we'd have these long drawn out discussions and debates, but it never, like, it was always respectful.
Right.
But we always had different opinions on TNA. And then he had his opinion about Sting not deserving to go into the Observer Hall of Fame. And me and John had another battle over that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then after that, I guess John was like, okay, I spend an hour every day talking to this guy on Facebook. We might as well invite him on the show.
Right. Yeah. Like, and I think John doesn't understand how much, because if you grew up in that time period and you were a NWA and WCW fan, which we both were, Sting is just, I never am with the idea that, oh, he never did WWE, so that doesn't make him great. I always thought Sting was just, he's definitely in my top five. That one of my faves, but meeting him was cool. The line for him was super, super long, longer than anybody else's there. That right there for me is enough to, like, so many years later that this guy resonates. It was longer than the line for Kenny Omega's movie. And Kenny Omega's line was the second longest line. It was cool meeting him. Another panel that I did when I was there was I went to the Brian Pillman panel.
Okay.
That was cool. Listening to the guy, I used to hate this dude, but I've kind of grown up. Mark Madden.
Oh yeah.
And then meeting Meltzer there was cool. Meeting
Mark Madden, who threatened to sue Brian Mann and I.
That's just part of being an idiot because but whatever. Mark Madden is one of those. If we ever get a chance to do a, I have several bones to pick with Mark Madden. I think he's kind of a cultural troll.
Yeah,
and I'll leave it at that. But it was cool meeting Dave Meltzer there. He was real super nice. Meeting Wade Keller, another nice guy. Meeting Brian Pillman Jr. That guy was cool. I was having problems with my camera phone at the time. Mm-hmm. And the dude waited around for me to get my bearings and for the phone to start working and took a bunch of pictures, man. And he was just so, so cool. Just such a grounded individual.
He seems pretty down to earth in terms of knowing who he is, but also understanding that a lot of the fans' relationship with him, at least at first, is going to come through a connection with his father.
Right. And then he also talked about how he had vivid memories of the Pillman's Got a Gun.
Yeah, the home invasion.
I was like, and you know something? That is something, even though you're like 3-4 years old, that is something you would remember, you know?
Every time he sees Steve Austin, he gets flashbacks.
Yeah, he was saying like, he was crying and didn't know what was going on and stuff. I always thought that angle got like a bad rap because it was, if you really, really think about it, everything that Brian Pillman did was legal. And he was the good guy, and Steve Austin was the bad guy. Steve Austin is breaking and entering. Brian Pillman's got his gun. He's got a family in there, and he's ready to shoot this man if, you know, he barges in the house. That's how you're supposed to do things, you know. Shoot, if you're a true Second Amendment activist, everything about that was ethical and legal.
So the only thing that stops a bad Steve Austin with a gun is a good Brian Pillman with a gun?
Yeah, in that instance. I'm not one of those Second Amendment nuts, although, you know, I did spend significant time in the South. I know.
Look here, brother, Brian Pillman was just standing his ground.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, exactly. You know, in that instance, he was. But always loved that. But, yeah, that was cool. That was a very, very cool panel with the Pillman Jr. panel. We sat on a few of the documentaries, the Viceland docs, meeting. My favorite panel is definitely the panel with the corner guys. But, just the whole event that weekend, seeing Goldust out there, meeting him, or Dustin, the natural Dustin Rhodes, seeing him shaking his hand, meeting. We saw Sonny Kiss out there.
Okay. Jim Cornette's, you know, favorite wrestler.
Oh, yeah. But we met him. We saw what's his name? X-Pac.
Mm, yeah.
We just saw, like the one thing I'm never going to do is disturb people while they're like eating and doing that kind of stuff. So, and we saw him walking down the hall, and I saw Kevin Nash, and then Kevin Nash invited us to some party he was throwing. He's like, "Oh yeah, come to the party," or whatever.
Okay. And we never did,
but it was cool meeting him.
So you should have gone to a party with woke Kevin Nash. I'm sure, like, you think it's going to be this crazy wrestler party, but actually it's like a Black Panther meeting. He's Kevin Nash is playing the drums. Listen, brothers, because Kevin Nash stays woke on Twitter now.
Oh, does he now?
Oh man, you haven't seen Kevin Nash. It was a couple weeks ago. I think it was either something regarding the abortion debate, or it was something regarding Black Lives Matter. But Kevin Nash was just, it was the abortion thing. Cause Kevin Nash was like, this is a real issue for women. But if you're so upset about abortion, why don't you just ignore it? Like you ignore gay rights and Black lives and a bunch of other stuff. Like, okay, Kevin Nash.
Yeah. So yeah, that gives me some extra respect for him then. But yeah, it was cool. And then Mark, you know, the only regret is I do wish I could have hung out with Marcus a little bit longer, but the time that I was around them, that was real, real cool. And then, I'm actually, going, on a semi-personal, non-personal note. I'm actually getting stem cell treatment, the end of the year. So hopefully that'll help with the balance issues that I've been having. But it was cool seeing those guys. Yeah, that was just a fun event. The only thing I want is just next time, just everybody else being there. It really felt like a reunion. And I also say this about wrestling fans as well. Even though I argue with a lot of them online and stuff like that, when you meet them in person, everybody is just so like personable to each other, and they're just, you know, just offering you things like, hey, do you want to come here with us, and all this other stuff. And everyone's just happy and just loving the weekend. And, you know, you have these fun wrestling debates and conversations in person that you just don't get to have in everyday life, because you're probably going to be the only person that you know who relates to this stuff.
Yeah, I definitely want to make it out to one of these. Like, it won't be the next one because it's a little too soon. The All Out show in Chicago with Starcast, but whatever, like, the next one is, whether it's at the end of this year or this time next year, I'm definitely gonna make it a point to get out to it, because it certainly feels like they took the best parts of WrestleMania week and just kind of upped it up to a different level.
Right, they did. And it was just, and again, when you go to Access, you're just not getting the same stuff. You know, you're paying $40 and you're just standing in long lines for pictures, and then you get out and it just doesn't feel anything. It just nothing is cool about it. But then when you go to this event and you get your platinum bracelet, or you get the lower tier bracelets too, and I still think the experience would have been the same, you know, because if you would have, you know, all you really needed was access to the panels and all that stuff.
Right.
I made a prediction to the corner guys and to Kenny King and to all those guys, because I got to have long conversations with all of them. I said that the diversity panel, if they do this again in a year, it's gonna be way more people that show up, because there was only like 40 people or something that showed up to this. But I think that if they do it again, it's gonna be amazing. I think Conrad, I'm gonna push for this too. It needs to be if they do it in Vegas again, it needs to be at Caesar's Palace. Mm. It's you had it at Tuscany Suites, which was cool, but you know. Let's put it this way. At Caesar's Palace, people were just looking for panels to go to, and they went to, and I don't think they were looking for anything specific.
Right.
At Tuscany Suites, it seemed like kind of the fringe spot where things were going on, but you know, it wasn't really like it didn't really seem like event stuff, if that makes sense.
It was like Starcast adjacent.
Yes, it was like adjacent. It was like Hattie McDaniels accepting the Oscar award. Accepting the Oscar in the janitor's closet or whatever.
That's a deep black cut that maybe most of our audience will not get. So just Google Hattie McDaniels Gone with the Wind.
Right, yeah. So it wasn't that bad. Conrad is an amazing individual, man.
Yeah, so just shout out to Conrad, and I will say, for any of the listeners of this show that are also listeners to the Conrad family of shows, you know, if Conrad wanted to have me as a part of this next year or sometime like that, hey, I'm open. I'm open to talking with the con man.
Yeah, same here. And I'm actually trying to get press credential for this, so let's make it happen, Conrad. You need don't be the guy with just the token panel.
I got a couple black friends.
yeah let's do this right, man. Let's
oh man, I would love to have a panel like, now that we're thinking about it, have a diversity panel featuring woke Kevin Nash.
Oh yeah, that's the thing too.
Because I'm sure his ideas now in 2019 are different than 1999 or 2009.
Well, we were actually somebody brought this up. I don't know if it was Kenny King or someone brought this up, but yeah, there should be at least one white wrestler, you know, on this thing that could vouch for some of the stuff that these wrestlers are going through and be like, yeah, this it's effed up. You know, it's like, you know, this the stereotypes and the stuff. The thing about blackness in wrestling in any facet of life, when I anytime I explain privilege to my students, the easiest way to explain it is if you do not have to think about your race or anything like that, then you are privileged. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like me and you, there are going to be times where we have to think about our blackness, right? Yep. If you're a gay guy, there are going to be half times where you think about, I'm walking down the street with my boyfriend. Oh, maybe I shouldn't hold hands here.
Right.
Because of this. No straight couple is ever thinking like that.
And that's the thing is, like, I think people get so defensive when you start talking about privilege. But the thing is, everybody has certain privileges to a different degree.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you and I don't have to deal with stuff that women have to deal with.
Right.
Or, you know, you and I don't have to deal with stuff that a gay dude would have to deal with. So, you know, just saying that somebody has a privilege isn't a bad thing. It's just being aware of the reality of the situation.
Yeah, it's like I heard Louis C.K. Say this a long time ago in one of his stand-up specials. And he says, if you don't acknowledge how awesome it is to be white, then you're an asshole, right? So you got to.
Being white is so awesome, you can masturbate in front of people and it won't catch up to you for a decade.
I know, exactly. Yeah, he's a poster boy for that. So it's like, so that's the thing. It's like, if the conversation ever wants to get real, and we're talking about wrestling, but in any facet of life, but if the conversation is ever going to get real and have any chance of going any place, you have to acknowledge the privileged state that you are in. At least do that. And then we can have a real conversation. And I think, with that said, Conrad and those StarCast guys are willing to do that.
Yeah. So, which is a good first step.
Yes.
So let's kind of wrap up things by talking about the actual show. Before we move to the NBA, Chris, the actual Double or Nothing pay-per-view, some people loved it. Some people, like Jim Cornette, had some issues with it. What did you make of AEW's first show?
It was cool. So I got there the tail end of the I'm used to calling it the Jobber Battle Royal. It wasn't a Jobber Battle Royal because the winner got a world title shot, but whatever the Battle Royal thing was.
Which was to me, just from watching it at home, the Battle Royal part was kind of the most sloppy part of the show, where you saw some production failures and the guys coming out, you know, they could have done a better job of presenting the characters. And your boy Alex Marvez was not at his best in this segment.
Right. So I watched it on TV and then I watched it there, the tail end of it there. Anyway, I think Jim Cornette is a progressive individual. However, the things he says probably aren't the most right things to say.
Yeah.
And, the critique, when he later explained his critique of Sonny Kiss, I got it. He said that he thought he didn't know Sonny Kiss was gay. He thought he was a guy pretending to be a gay stereotype, which on some level I kind of get. But at the same time, you don't want to be calling guys transvestites and stuff, especially in this climate. But I was entertained by it because it was harmless. You know, it was like, this is the precursor to the real show. So
yeah,
I didn't really mind it. MJF in the Battle Royal was great. He got the booze and it was like, it was a kind of booze where you enjoy booing the guy, not necessarily because you hate him, but because you know he is the bad guy in this scenario and you really like the good guy. And then in the battle royal, he goes straight for the guy that has no limbs. It's like, you know, that was just such a hill thing to do. So that was cool watching that in person, being there for it. And then when the show started, man, it was like you felt that electricity. I loved every single bit of that show in person. My in-person experience in that show, from the very moment they brought Jim Ross out with the Boomer Sooner music,
right,
and then to the pyro, Cody and them coming out there, everything was cool, man. Every single thing was cool. They hit all the right beats. Having our girl, Awesome Kong, who
yeah,
I met
that was,
her.
That was a nice surprise.
I met her at the StarCast a year ago. Such a sweet woman, and the roof exploded. I don't know what her injury status is or whatever, but I do think her coming back would help that show. But I digress. That was great. The women's match with Aja Kong, that was cool too. I know some stupid stuff went on in it, but it was cool live. Every single match, man, there wasn't one. My friend was getting annoyed by the Young Bucks match, calling it a spot fest and all this other stuff. I personally liked it because it just showed the diversity of what AEW is bringing to the table. It wasn't your standard fare. It wasn't WWE where every single match is a false finish and this and that. It was showing, okay, we have traditional wrestling on this show for everybody that was an NWA fan, but we also have the Spot Monkey Fest. So if you like the Spot Fest, then this is going to be for you.
Yeah, to me, that was one of the strongest parts of the card, is that there was variety.
Yes, yes. And then of course, you know, Cody and Dustin.
Yeah.
Very, very, very
match
cool.
Match of the night for me.
Yeah, definitely match of the night for me. It was and that was what I remember in our group chat. One of the things I was saying was when Cody first announced that it was going to be Dustin Rhodes, I was like, I'm glad that he announced it early, because if he played it like a surprise, people would have been disappointed.
Yeah.
But the minute they cut the first, both of them, when I heard the first vignette from Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes, I immediately wanted to see the match. It was like Dustin, the last time I saw him in WWE, I don't even remember what he was doing. Maybe the R-Truth crap. but it just shows you how a fresh coat of paint can change everything with that guy. So that was cool watching.
I think people need to, you know, Cody's not going to be the guy that goes out there and puts on a, you know, 6-star classic, to quote Dave Meltzer.
Right.
But he's the guy in the company, I think, maybe one of the few guys, along with Jericho and along with Dustin, that knows about the art of storytelling.
Right. And here's the thing, too. Cody Rhodes was a guy in WWE that I've hated almost since day one. Like, I liked him at the Hall of Fame ceremony when he introduced his pops to the Hall of Fame. And then when he debuted, I just thought he was a dweeb. I didn't like any of that dashing crap. I didn't like the mustache stuff. I thought everything he did was stupid up until Stardust. I actually thought Stardust had some promise, but I still never pegged him as someone that could main event until I saw him in TNA. And in TNA, I absolutely love the stuff that he was doing. Yeah. He had this kind of American Psycho, like this Christian Bale American Psycho gimmick going on. And then I don't know if you were watching TNA during this time, Nate, but they were doing this thing with him and Moose. And Moose was always like there looking out for Brandy.
Yep.
And Cody was doing, and he did it so effing perfect. The paranoid white guy with the you know, the black guy jealous of the black guy in the background. And it was so great, man. So Cody Rhodes and AEW, I'm looking forward, just to bridge it back to your storytelling stuff, I'm looking forward to the stories he tells in that company, because I like you said, I'm kind of all in on that, on the storytelling, so to speak.
All right, and the, like, to me, the card, it was pretty solid once it got going. The only thing that really didn't hit to me was like the end of the Best Friends versus Jack Evans and an Angelico match with the Smash Brothers. That doesn't really play unless you know who they are.
Yeah, that didn't hit for in the crowd either. And then going back and watching it on television, because I paid the $50 to see it on TV. And yeah, I could understand if you're watching that on TV, the problems you would have with that, because it was definitely weird. I do think Trent Beretta is going to be a future upper mid carder in that company, though. But it was but outside of that, yeah, the Super Smash Brothers, I knew of them, but only because another wrestling geek was talking about them, like at StarCast. So that's kind of how I knew them. Because yeah, I was lost, and then the "Who are you?" chant started.
Yeah, and then the Young Bucks. Like, I'm kind of hot and cold with the Bucks, but I love the Lucha Brothers, and I thought that was a really strong match. Jericho and Kenny Omega was good. It wasn't great. Like, I think it was probably, for me, the third best match on the show. But even then, like, you're telling me we've got a show with Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, and that's only going to be the third best match? That means you got a pretty good show.
Exactly, yeah. It was very good. Jericho delivered. I do have a beef with Jericho, and I will state what it is here soon. But yeah, the match was great. I thought the match wasn't great. The match was, like you said, it was good. Okay to good. I thought they hit all the right beats in the match.
It did what it needed to do, but it didn't do anything more than that.
Right. Exactly. That was the main, point of contention with that match. You know, being there live for an Omega Jericho match is real cool. It was a lot of electricity for it. A lot of the fans were just very, very into it. And yeah, like you said, for that being the third best match on the show, it was great. And then you mentioned the Young Bucks in the match before. What's his name? One of those Young Bucks, I don't know if it was Matt or the other one, they were wearing like a fresh pair of Jordan 11s the whole weekend, man. So I just wanted to point that out. I'm a shoe guy, so, you know, I always notice like that stuff. And he was rocking them 11s hard. And he had like, at one of the events, he had on the Jordan 11. He had on the whole Jordan ensemble with the 11s, and like a Jordan shirt, like a Nike Air Jordan shirt and stuff. But yeah, so really, really enjoyed the event.
What was your beef with Jericho?
Okay, so Jericho, he was supposed to do a live podcast on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was looking forward to it. And then he doesn't do the podcast for some bullshit kayfabe reason, saying like he was selling Moxley's double arm DDT or whatever.
Yeah, because Dean Ambrose / John Moxley debuted at the end of the show.
Right. Yeah. So that was the beef that I had is like, okay, you are at a show with a bunch of fans that know what the hell is going on, you know, like, well, don't play us like that. And then, you know, it was just like, to me, that's not the greatest way to get that's the kind of stuff WWE does, you know, where you just fall. There's card subject to change. And there's blatant false advertisement. And that right there is blatant false advertisement. And that's just not a road I would travel if I was anybody that was a part of AEW. If you're announcing this live podcast, I think it behooves you to actually do it. If you want to, you know, like say, what's his name? Omega's been banned or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, the fans there, and we got screwed over on a lot of different things at that event too, you know, because there were fans there that were looking forward to seeing the Undertaker, and he didn't show up, and there were fans there that were looking forward to seeing Angle, and Angle didn't show up. So I think, you know, every little morsel that you can hold on to, you just make sure that, you know, people are getting their money's worth, and I was disappointed in Jericho for that. But with that said, the overall event, like for me, just getting able to hang out with Kenny King and the corner guys and Marcus and just everybody, it really did feel like a family atmosphere with everybody. Marty Bell, I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but he's a local LA independent guy who'd be probably good to have on your show one day too. I can't think of his name, but all those cats. It was just that weekend was what I went to StarCast for, and I did not know because the All In weekend was good, but it wasn't the greatest. This was, I didn't want the weekend to end. That's how good it was.
Yeah, just for as a person watching the show, I think this was on par with All In. I think it might have been better than All In. The only thing missing that All In had was the New Japan guys. I want to say this was probably overall a better show than WrestleMania. Like the only thing WrestleMania had over this show was you had the Kofi moment, which to me is still the best moment of the year. But in terms of an overall viewing experience, I enjoyed Double or Nothing better than WrestleMania.
Yeah. And that was the thing too, the Kofi moment. And they really did a bad, because had they been advertising the Kofi moment like it was actually going to happen, I would have actually went to WrestleMania. I would have left right after that Kofi match because I know New York like the back of my hand, and I know New Jersey as well, and I know how those trains operate. But I think WrestleMania had the greatest moment of the year, probably one of the greatest moments of all times, especially if you're in the culture. Definitely one of the greatest moments of all time. For me, it is the greatest WrestleMania moment of all time. But as a whole show, I would have to give it to Double or Nothing. I think the whole show, and it's not just me being there while I'm saying it. It was because there's been plenty of shows that I've gone to that I didn't feel this way about, but I thought they did everything and the fans coming out of the show, everybody was just so hype and just happy. It was like nobody was complaining about anything. People were just, you know, that recency bias was there well after the show let out. And the whole weekend is that people were just talking about after Saturday, going into Sunday, people were just talking about how great the show was. So big up to Tony Khan and Shad Khan for just giving us something different. And then I'm, you know, and then I'm sorry, I start listening to some haters like – well after the show, and we probably shouldn't even acknowledge them, but I will say this. If WWE did not fear AEW on any level, every wrestler that's complaining about wanting to leave, they would just let leave, right? You know, so that's just my thing. So I do think AEW is going to, I think its first show is going to probably do 1.5 million viewers. I think
that TNT deal is a big one.
Yes. It's like, you don't understand. Like if you're not taking this thing seriously, TNT, this is what they do. Their bad shows do like about 500,000, you know? So,
this is not ROH on Sinclair or Impact on Destination America or even Impact on Spike. Like TNT is a channel that rivals USA's reach.
Yes. And they're showing commercials during like the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals and stuff. So, yes. I mean, this is,
We had your boy Marv Albert talking about Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Marv Albert needs to he needs to eat some humble. That I don't understand what that was. He's not that old.
And it's like, even if you don't know Chris Jericho, like the word Jericho is not like a foreign word.
Yeah, I'm sure Marv Albert.
You ain't never read the Bible, Marv Albert?
At least once. He's had to read the Bible at least once.
Well, speaking about the hardwood, Chris, we're going to wrap up this week's edition of the Kings of Sport by talking about the NBA Finals, which, as it stands as of last night's game, the Toronto Raptors have a 2-1 lead over the Golden State Warriors. It should be a 3-0 lead. But what have you seen these first three games, brother?
I've seen the Raptors come into play. I think that they are very, very hungry. I originally picked the Warriors in six. I'm still going to stick with the Warriors. Maybe in six. I do think if it goes to seven, I'm scared if it goes to seven. But I haven't seen anything out of the Warriors that makes me think that, oh my God, these guys are toast, right?
No, but that's the thing. Like, I think had Toronto won game two and then ended up winning game three, it'd be a different story.
Right.
But I think people realize, A, KD's out, B, Klay's out, and C, Kevon Looney, to whatever degree Kevon Looney matters, he's gone. Boogie's not quite Boogie. So I think there's a lot of reasons why the Warriors are behind, but I don't think anybody believes that they're out.
Right, yeah. I definitely don't believe that they're out, and I'm looking forward to just the series just getting great and better. I'm loving
like to use wrestling terms, Chris, this could all just be one big hope spot for, right, for the Raptors, because come Friday we might have KD back, we might have KD and Klay back, and then it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah. In the city of Toronto has needed this for a long, long time. You know, and they're great basketball fans in Toronto. I know that. I remember when Vince Carter missed that shot that eliminated them from the playoffs, and Kawhi Leonard making, you know, a similar shot that got them into the finals. I've been going for the Raptors, and I do hope that they win. With that said, though, I'm also realistic, and I just know how those boys on the Warriors, Draymond and Steph Curry and all of them. I know they can play, and they didn't strike me as nervous and scared after the game. So, like you said, you gotta consider Durant not being there, Klay Thompson not being there, all these things that add up. So we'll see. Did they say Durant is gonna just sit out the finals?
No, the latest I've seen is that Kerr said Klay Thompson was probably about 60% last night, but he held him off because he didn't want him to get re-injured, and that Durant was going to play in a scrimmage at practice tomorrow, I believe, and depending on how he did there, they'd make their decision based off of that.
Right, and that's the one thing. I'm not the biggest Steve Kerr fan, but I do think he's very good at not getting nervous and kind of letting things play out. You know, he's not going to rush Durant back or Klay Thompson back. He's a long game thinker, and I think for those reasons, the Warriors are, until the Warriors lose, they are still that team.
Yeah. They're the monster in the monster movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, till you kill them, they ain't dead.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to make sure those guys are dead.
Well, come Friday night, we'll see KD and Klay Thompson hop about the grave like Michael Jackson in Thriller. And
right, and we've seen them in these sticky situations.
There's something you should know about me. I'm not like most guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Draymond turns around to the camera with the yellow eyes.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, man, like, I think Toronto, and I can't believe I'm agreeing with Will Kane, because I always disagree with Will Kane, but yeah. The day after they lost game two, he said that was the series.
Right.
And even though they came back and won game three, I tend to agree with him. I think had they won that game, it's a different story. But because they lost and left the door open for Golden State, and now you're in a position where Klay and Draymond can get back in the game, I still think Golden State's going to end up winning this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And I saw Will Kane say that, and I'm exactly like you on that subject. But in every single series, there comes a moment before the series is over where the team that loses lost the series. And I do think that was game two for the Raptors. Even if they come back, I think once the series plays out and if the Warriors win, I think you could trace the losses back to that game too. It was like this isn't exactly similar, but remember when Derek Fisher hit that 0.4-second shot against the Spurs?
Yeah.
That was when that series was over right there. You know, even though there was an extra game or two to play, you know, it was over right there. Yep.
And this was even worse than that because it wasn't some last second shot. They were in control of the game and just let it slip away.
Yeah, exactly. They had they were holding on and then they let it slip away. And it was kind of like when last year with Cleveland? I think it was last year where LeBron and wasn't clock managing right. J.R. Smith. Yeah, that was the end of that series. Yep. There was no coming back from that. And I think that even with the game three victory, the Raptors, I do think it's going to be an uphill climb. I think you have to, the Golden State is one of those teams that when you have them down, you have to stomp them out.
Yeah.
You can't leave any wiggle room for anything to happen because you have to beat them while they're down.
So we'll see if Toronto can hold on to this lead or if the Warriors will once again reign supreme. But one thing we won't have to wait on, Chris, is discerning the state of your Los Angeles Lakers. And we have to always talk Lakers whenever you come into the show.
Right.
So far, the Lakers, I guess the big move this week is they've added another former head coach to their coaching staff.
Yeah. Frank Vogel, right?
Frank Vogel's the head coach. Then they added Jason Kidd as the assistant coach. And now they've added Lionel Hollins as another assistant coach.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think that all of these – let me just say this. Frank Vogel is not, would not have been my pick, but out of the guys that they could have picked to like be coached, out of the lame tier of guys they could have picked, he's probably higher up on that list. I do think Frank Vogel does have something to offer. But I just think until the Lakers get people to compliment LeBron, it's just going to be the same story. And then now we have to deal with the fact that LeBron is aged another year, you know?
Well, I mean, there's some good news, I guess you could say, Chris, in that the Pelicans look more open now to trading Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and that's something that should probably happen, because I don't think Anthony Davis is happy there. And what one thing that the NBA understands that the WWE doesn't understand is that when a player is not happy in that environment, you got to make sure you get rid of those people, man. And you know, because it's just they're not going to give you the quality that you want out of them. And I think with Anthony Davis, I think he's tired of the same song every year. It's either don't make the playoffs or get to the playoffs and lose every single year. There comes a point even for the team where you just have to say, we're going to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and if you know, New Orleans, like, especially now that you have Zion Williamson, this is a chance to get a bunch of assets in return for Anthony Davis while you can.
Yeah.
So exactly. And you're right. Like if the guy's not happy there, you know, let him leave and get as much as you can in return for him. That's a lesson a lot of people could take to heart. The WWE, the Cleveland Browns with the Duke Johnson situation. Shout out to punk ass Baker Mayfield. Can't been up for management on these streets. But the other thing with the Lakers, the rumor is still persisting, Chris, and I don't know how much of this is true or not, but do you think you could see a reunion between Kyrie and LeBron in La La Land?
See, that's the thing. Right now, I'm just looking for a hallelujah, man. I want anything that gets us out of the playoffs, and that's never what I used to be as a Laker fan. But that's what it is now. It is what it is. I'm not. You might as well. You know, that's what I'm on board with. But I do think that Kyrie and LeBron could work. But I don't think that would be enough. I just think that you still need.
Yeah, I think you need one more guy. Like, I think if you get Kyrie, LeBron, and maybe like a Jimmy Butler, that's a good little team.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know, if we ever got like, you know, if the Warriors ever came up off of Klay Thompson, you know, something like that. But you need something extra. It's not going to be enough with them. It wasn't enough with them in Cleveland, even though Love was – he was quality.
Kevin Love, yeah.
Yeah, but he was just kind of – he was just kind of falling off, you know, so.
Well, yeah, I think Kyrie has been humbled a bit by Boston.
Right.
And I think that – he understands the deal now. Like, he's a great number two. And I think he would be more open to re-teaming with LeBron than he would have been, say, a year ago. I also think he's open if KD ends up going to the Nets or the Knicks. I think Kyrie would be open to being the number two guy on one of those teams. So I think he's certainly more open to the idea. And you could do a lot worse than Kyrie, LeBron, and one other player, whether that be an AD or a Jimmy Butler or a Bradley Beal, somebody like that.
Yeah, what I used to always say about Kyrie when he was on Cleveland, it was like, you know, I think Kyrie had the potential to be a number one, but you just can't force the issue, man. Your time comes when it comes.
Yeah.
Right now, LeBron is the man. And when, you know, if Kyrie ever surpasses that,
had he stayed in Cleveland, they probably would have gone to, you know, two or three more finals together.
Right, exactly. But it's like, you're not gonna surpass LeBron in his prime just like that. You know, I think it's something that could kind of be learned, but you're not just gonna automatically come in and do that.
You gotta get the torch passed to you.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think Kyrie, I don't think he was as toxic as a lot of the media people were saying that he was, but he was young and hungry. And like you just said, being in Boston, and I went to college in Paxton, so I got experience. That place will humble you. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, so I'm sure his Boston experience is better than mine, even as horrible as much as he's complaining.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on with your Lakers and your girl Jeannie Buss out there, and Kurt Rambis and the whole crew running things.
Right. Yeah, and I think Jeannie, I think if they don't get it together if they don't get the Lakers to the playoffs next season, I think Jeannie is. She needs to consider selling because this is getting ridiculous, man. We're going on how many lean years not being in the playoffs. The last time we were there was when Dwight Howard was on the Lakers, and it's been a while. So something's got to – there's got to be a cultural shift. There's got to be a paradigm change.
Yeah, I hope the Lakers can tighten it up, because the league is better when the Lakers are good. The league is certainly better from a TV standpoint when LeBron is in the playoffs. And so we'll see how that goes, Chris.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. We appreciate y'all for listening. Chris, for the people out there that want to hear more of your insight into the world of wrestling or race or politics, and we will have to restart the 2020 in the summer, as well as we'll eventually get around to launching the NWA show, the Nubian Wrestling Advocates. But for people that want to get in touch with you and hear about your various projects, including your recent appearance on Post Wrestling, where can they find you?
All right, so you could do a Google search of me, Christopher Ely. That's KristopherEaly. And then all of my social media stuff should come up. Tomorrow I'm doing a show in the morning, the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse with Jay Leto and those guys. They host that. And Topher Epps, he does his show on Friday mornings that I'm going to go ahead and do with him, where we just talk wrestling. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing the political shows again. And, you know, getting kind of deeper into the politics game. There's so much stuff going on right now that everybody needs to be aware of. So I'm looking forward to that.
I forget where we left off. I think we left off with Julian Castro. That's the next one we have to talk about.
Okay, yeah. So we'll talk about Castro, and then we'll talk about some of these other cats, because it's a wide open field for Democrats. And, you know, we need to also talk about the impeachment stuff too.
Yeah. We got some pretty big episodes coming up, because we got, we haven't done Kamala Harris yet, I don't think.
Right. Not yet. No,
we haven't done Beto.
Nope. Not yet.
So we haven't done Mayor Booty Juice.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I'm looking forward to talking about all of these candidates. Yeah, right.
That's the 2020 on the Kings of Sport Patreon that you can check Chris out on.
Right, and then also I wanted to shout out Leslie Smith. I've been kind of talking with her about her the UFC, the independent contractor stuff that we've been complaining about for years. And I'm trying to put together a panel for her and her lawyer to kind of, talk about this ad nauseum and bring attention to it. So we'll hopefully we get that done by the end of the year. And yeah, so it's a lot of good stuff going on around here. And I made Way and John watch Thunder in Paradise. So I'm kind of I'm kind of proud of myself for that.
Yeah, that was a great episode of Rewind Away with Chris and John and Way reviewing Thunder in Paradise pilot, the 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Featuring Terry Bollea.
They're complaining about that, man. You wait until they see the next thing I have them reviewed. They're going to be wishing that it was the next episode of Thunder in Paradise.
I'm hoping it's something featuring Tiny Zeus Lister.
Yeah.
But maybe more importantly than anything, Chris is a patron of the Kings of Sport podcast. And before we get out of here, I want to shout out the various patrons for the Kings of Sport. You can find the Patreon over at patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Let's see, as soon as it'll let me pull up the page here so I can shout everybody out. But Chris, while I'm bringing this up, why don't you let the people know, you know, what you like about being a patron of the Kings of Sport?
Okay, so being a patron is just cool because, one, you're giving back, and, you know, the shows, the more patrons that the King of Sports get, the more shows they can do, like, you know, the 2020 Twin, and then just stuff like that. And the content is great, and just, you know, being a part of it. And we, you know, and then I know, like, the goal is to get, like, you know, be more interactive with all the fans, right? So,
yeah, you know, we just want to provide a variety of different shows for the people, and the more patrons we get, the more stuff we can do. So,
yeah, the more reward levels and stuff like that. So, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but I believe it'll happen.
All right, so go check out the Patreon, which not only has video versions of the Kings of Sport podcast, but it has the 2020 Twin, like Chris mentioned. It has the Marvel review I did for Avengers Endgame is up, as well as the archives for the Luke Cage show, Always Forward. Now,
we do need to do a review of Suicide Squad because I defend that movie more than anybody else. So, I love Suicide Squad. I do know its flaws, but yeah.
I was gonna say, how do you feel about your man Idris Elba being in part two?
I feel good about it. They're not making him Deadshot anymore, so I think they're trying to leave the door open for Will Smith.
That's a smart move.
Very smart. Yeah, you don't want to. Will Smith is still box office. you can't be fucking that up.
And him and your girl Tanya Harding. What's her name?
Why am I blanking on her?
She played Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I know who you're talking.
Margot Robbie.
Rob.
They were like the best part of the movie.
Right. Yeah, they were great.
But yeah, let's shout out our patrons here, Chris. We got Amy Lamont, Chris Thunder, Dre Pullen, Eric Marcotte, Faz, the infamous Jermaine Jones from Chicago, John Taylor, John Pollock and Wei Ting, Christopher Marquise Ely, Mark Donald. What's your last name there, Mark Donald? I think that's Mark Donald Kent. If I'm wrong, let me know. Paul Fernley, Randy, Rory Allenwick, Scott Criscola, my co-host over on the main event, Steve Willey, another co-host from the main event, and Todd Elliott. So shout out to our patrons. Again, you know, you can find us at patreon.com/thekingsofsport to get all of this good bonus content, many of it featuring the professor, Christopher Marquis Ealy. You can find me on Twitter in the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow Marcus, Marco Will, at Marco Will on Twitter. Follow the show at CosPod, K-O-S underscore P-O-D. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. And be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, even though I guess iTunes is getting ready to come to an end. I think it's like Apple is breaking things up into music, podcasts, and movies.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So whatever the incarnation in the future of iTunes is, that's where you'll find us. We're also on Spotify. We're also on Stitcher, Google Podcasts. What else? We're on a Podcast Addict. Wherever you get your podcast from, that is where you will find us. I think we're on iHeartRadio as well. iHeartRadio podcast. But yeah, you'll find us. Just search for us and we will be there. I think that's it. Subscribe to the show, rate, review, and if you like what we're doing, share the show with your friends. So unless you got anything else to say, Chris, we are going to wrap up this Royal Rant edition of the Kings of Sport.
No, that was it. Thank you guys for having me. And yeah, let's get those patrons up.
Okay, I like the way you hit him with the hard sell there.
Yeah.
Sound like Jim Ross. Look here, I got testosterone problems, but you can help me and the show out by buying these testosterone pills.
Oh, yeah, the blue chew stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Fellas, yeah. The older we get, our performance starts to dip a little bit, especially where it counts in the bench.
Hey, I promise if you guys get the patron level up to a certain number, let's say we get 100 patrons by the end of the summer, I will hopefully we could get Blue Chew to advertise for the Kings of Sports, and I will use Blue Chew and give a review of it. God damn it, we need the patrons.
Hey, look, I have principles, but I am not above being a corporate shill. So Blue Apron,
yes, all that stuff. Just cut.
What's the Casper mattress?
Right, all of it. Yeah.
Anybody that wants to use our program, Squarespace, use our program as a market to promote them, I'm open to it if the check clears.
Right. Yeah. So let's do that and let's get this up and running.
That's gonna do it for this week's edition of the show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Brother Lightskin back in the saddle for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, for the professor, Chris from L.A., I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Viva Las Vegas! And you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS underscore POD, Cospod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted.
Mean Gene, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah.